Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top of Daf Tes at the Mishnah. The Mishnah deals with a situation where you already checked your house for chametz, and after your checking, are you to take into consideration the possibility of some type of rodent having dragged into your already checked house some more chametz? So the Mishnah says, Ein choshishin shema gira chulda mibayis levayis umimokim lemokim. You don't have to worry about the possibility of a chulda, we'll refer to that as a rodent, some will translate that as a rat, having giras, having dragged into your already checked house from another house or another yard that had not been checked. The imkain, if you are going to take that into consideration, mechotzu lechotzu, meir leir, ein ludavar sof, from one courtyard to another courtyard, or from one city to another city, there's no end to how far you can start worrying. In other words, after when you check your house, it's most likely that there are other places that had not checked their houses or dwellings for chametz. So once you finish checking your house, there's always the possibility, if you want to worry about it, of some rodent dragging in from some other as yet unchecked house to where you already checked. And if you're going to worry about that, there's no end to things. The Gemara points out from the Mishnah that the whole basis of our, we'll say, peace of mind is because you didn't see any creature dragging into your house any chametz. The topic heading that we've supplied on the side of the Gemara, you can see the nosei. We've written there, im vadai bo lekan chulda im chametz acher abdika. If, however, there definitely came a chulda with chametz after you checked your house, bo inon livdok od pam, you are going to have to check a second time. So our Gemara says, Taimo de lo chazino de shokal. The reason that you don't have to worry about some chametz having been dragged into your house after you checked is because you didn't see an animal bringing in any chametz. Ho chazino de shokal. If, however, you saw it taking chametz and bringing it into your house, chayshinon, you have to worry that maybe it deposited the chometz in your house as opposed to eating it immediately. Uboi bedika. And now you will have to check. The Gemara asks, Va'amai, why should we conclude that you have to check? Nemo achalte. Why not say that it ate the chometz? Mi lo tanan. And you should note, by the way, that we have a question that lasts several lines, taking in a Tanaic source. And we're going to see shortly the idea that an animal will eat that which it was dragging around. Mi lo tanan, have we not learned in the following? Maduros ho'akum temeim. Maduros are dwellings, apartments, homes of idol worshippers, are assumed to be tome. That means that there is assumed to be tumas mace in those homes. Tumas mace is defilement that is caused by the dead. And when we speak about the dead, it's not necessarily only a full-grown human corpse, but even something like a miscarriage that a woman experienced and not brought to a proper cemetery, but left in one's house. The embryo, if you will, if it's 40 days in its development, it too can create or project tumas ohel, the tuma we call as a result of defilement to the dead, as a result of being under the same covering or overshadowing. So with that background in mind, this source says that the dwellings of the idol worshippers are tomei, and as we alluded, or we should say explicitly, that is because they will leave their miscarriages, bury them in their houses. How long would the idol worshiper have had to dwell in that house in order for it, for us to be aroused or concerned with the possibility of tumah and hence needing to check it out? Arboim yom, 40 days. That, namely, if the if this idol worshiper lived in the house 40 days, then we have to take into consideration that there was a miscarriage that was buried in this house. The Avopi Shein Lo Isha, even if he is not formally married, and that is because he will also, what we call in modern terms, he will also live with a woman, and that's enough to produce this this element of doubt. And this is dashed, underlined, because really this is the focus of our emphasis, and that is, and namely, that a place where a chulda or swine dwells or can walk, has access, you don't have to check, and that's because these creatures will eat whatever miscarriage happened to have been there. So what do we see from here? We see that when you have these animals around, they will consume that which is there. So that in the case of the animal dragging chometz, even if you saw the animal bring chometz into the already checked home, it probably ate it. The question has been presented. On the side of the Gemara, you see we have a double underline, which is explained. Shnei gishos lanos al hakushyo mimaduro sakum. Two approaches to resolve this question. So, well, number one, Amar Rabbi Zeiro lo kashya ha bebosar ha belechem. There's a difference between flesh and baked bread. Bebosar lo mishai. When it comes to flesh, meat, it won't leave over anything. Belechem mishairo. However, when it comes to bread, so it will leave over, and hence you have to check. Omar Rava, hai mai. How can you compare these cases? Bishlamo hasam, in the case of the maduro sa'akum, we understand why we say ein sorch bdika, because of the following. We can be lenient. Eimor have, eimor lo have. Maybe there was a miscarriage, and maybe there was no miscarriage. There's a basic doubt at the very core of the matter. The imtim salomar have, if you say, well, there was a miscarriage, I can still be lenient based on the assumption that the animal ate it. But in the case of the chometz that we are describing, namely where the animal, we saw the animal bring the chometz into our house, we definitely saw it carry it in. Should we say, or can we conclude that it definitely ate it? Have a sofek. Uvadai, you have a case of a sofek, a doubt. Did it eat it or not? You have a vadai that the chometz was here after I checked the house. The ein sofek motzi midei vadai. And the element of doubt, namely that maybe it ate it, which would be reason for my not checking, but it's only a matter of doubt, cannot exclude or cannot preempt the issue of the certainty. The vadai is the certainty that the chometz was here after I checked it. Therefore, you have to check it. You'll notice now that we have a bracketed section, and this is a case in point where the brackets are quite lengthy. They go, they extend till Omid Beis, about almost a third of the way down the page. Before we get into our Gemara, let's take advantage of some of the notes that we have on this. So we have a starred note that you can see in the margin, and it reads, Matras HaSugrayim Hino The purpose of these brackets is to create a boundary, to set off the discussion in the Gemara on the topic of Ein Sofek Motzi Midei Vadai. In other words, we will see that the Gemara stated with a certain degree of authority that Ein Sofek Motzi Midei Vadai. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara in effect will be challenging that assumption. Diun ze have sugya bifnei atzmo shemofia b'gemoros achiros. This bracketed section constitutes a discussion unto itself, and it also appears in other gemoras. Achreya sugrayim, after the bracketed section, a gemara chuzeres lishol al hakivia shel mishnosenu di ein chishishin shemo giro v'chulei. That means that when we get to Amud Beis, you can skip momentarily to the section of the Gemara after, immediately after the brackets, and it reads, the Gemara there reads, Umi Amrinon Ein Choshishin Shema Gura Chuda. Is it really so that we are not worried about the Chuda coming in? In other words, we have established that only in a situation where you see the Chuda with the Chametz do you have to recheck. That is telling us that if you didn't see anything, there's nothing to worry about. So we're going to ask that. Is that really so that there's nothing to worry about? Namely, that only if you actually see a problem do you have to start getting concerned? All right. So that having been said, we see the superstructure of the Gemara. We now can focus on the bracketed section without the danger of losing sight of the overall sukkah. In the Gemara, you'll notice there are diamonds that appear, and on the side of the Gemara, under Amar Nose Mivne Hering, you can see a diamond appears, and we have written She'elos Birur. These are questions for clarification purposes. Ayim Sovrim Aklal the Ein Sofek Motzi Midei Vadai. Do we really accept that principle that Ein Sofek Motzi Midei Vadai? V'ha Ro'im the Sofek Motzi Midei Vadai. It will appear, and the Gemara will present a number of cases where doubt does overrule the element of certainty. In each case, the Gemara will answer how that really is not so. We will start the Gemara, and there's one more note that will follow shortly. But let's start the reading. The Gemara asks, and each one of the diamonds, as we said, represents a new question. The Ein Sofek Motzi Midei Vadai, is that really so that an element of doubt cannot supersede an element of certainty? V'ha'tanya. We have a source, Chover Shemes, V'niach Megura Mleo Peros. A Chover is a person who has a reputation, who is assumed to tithe his produce. Now you have a person that was like that, that had that status. V'hiniach megura malei peros, and he left a storehouse full of fruits. V'afilu hein b'nei yomon, even if you can identify them as being freshly cut, they are, in other words, they are that day's fruits. Harei hein b'cheskas mesukonim, they have the status of having been tithed. And why? Because they were owned by a chover. The marking that we see is explained on the side where you have a double star, a mivne note, the hakiv kuf, this dashed underline, letzorach hemshich ha-gemara, will be necessary for the gemara later on, shomeras vadai uvadai hu. Where the Gemara will say that it's not a Sofek versus a Vadai, but it's two elements of certainty, one clashing with the other. Kemokain, idgashnu, with a dot underline, as opposed to the dash underline, kidei lehavli Sofek usofeku, two elements of doubt that are clashing with one another. So, let's go back to our Gemara. We have described a chover shemes, a person who is known to be reliable with regard to tithing. He left a bin of freshly picked fruits, and we say there is no need for tithing them. Here we have a case where the fruits are definitely they had been definitely tevel. In other words, when you collect fruits and they reach their gemar malacha, they reach their final stages and whatever is needed for preparing them, so they become tevel. Tevel is untithed produce. So you have fruits here that had been definitely tevel. V'safek musarin, safek lo musarin. And there's an element of doubt. Before his demise, did he tithe them or not? I don't know. You're dealing with freshly picked fruits owned by someone who had been a chaver. So can you say with certainty that they were tithed? He died just now, moments after the fruits were picked. Moments in a short while after the fruits were picked. They were picked and gathered and boxed. So, yet the source says, you don't have to tithe them. So we have a case here of Suffolk. I don't know if they were tithed. Maybe they were, maybe not. The kasi Suffolk umotzi midei vadai. And this element of the doubt, making the assumption that he tithed them, which is a doubt, maybe he didn't, you see, overrules or supersedes the element of certainty of their definitely having been tevel in status. The Gemara answers, Hasam vadai uvadai hu. It's not a case of doubt overruling certainty. That cannot happen. But rather, there is an element of, there are two elements of vadai that are clashing with one another, enabling us to be lenient. What's the vadai uvadai? Who? The vadai me'asri. They're definitely tithed. True, they were definitely tevel, but we also have a right to say they were definitely tithed. Kidarebi Chanina Choza, based on his teaching, the Omar Rabbi Chanina Choza, Chazoka al Chover Shein Motzi Mitachas Yodo Dover Shein Omesukan. A Chover has a given status that he will not pass out from under his possession something that has not been tithed. So that all we have to know is that you're dealing with fruits that were owned by a Chover. As soon as he had the opportunity to tithe them, you can rest assured he tithed them with certainty. The Iboy Zema, another approach to the issue of the Chover Shemes, is Safek Usafek Hu. It's not a case of a Safek overruling a Vadai, of doubt superseding a status of certainty, but rather you have two elements of doubt here. Dilma Meikora Amor Delo Tavili Kidereboshaya. It could be that these fruits never became actual tevel. How can fruits that appear to be ready for eating not have become actual tevel? The Yomer of Oshaya, Marim Odem Altavu Aso, Umachnisa Bemoitz Shelah, Kedesh Tein Behemto Ochela Subturim and Amaiser. Rav Oshaya teaches a method. Marim is a little, has to do with something that's a trick, sometimes associated with something underhanded, or a method of circumventing an obligation or a requirement. And this is a legal circumvention. It might not be something that we would say is choice behavior, but it certainly works legally. And what is that? We spoke about fruits having a tevel status, meaning that you cannot eat them until they are tithed. And that is true if you did a gemar malacha on those fruits while they were in the fields. Gemar malacha is a reference to a final stage in their preparation. And following the gemar malacha, you then brought them in through the main gate into your house or into a building. If, however, you switch the order, or you do things in an unusual fashion, namely, if you were to bring into your house fruits or grains that had not experienced the Gemar Malacha, and only once they were in the house, only then did you do the Gemar Malacha. You switched the order. That would not become Tevel. And Rashi elaborates on this topic. So, they wouldn't become Tevel. That would mean that from a Torah perspective, they could be eaten even without tithing from them. So, I see in the Tanaic source above, Chover Shemes, the person died, leaving a bin full of fruits, but it could very well be that those fruits were brought into the house before their Gemar Malacha. And since they were brought into the house before the Gemar Malacha, they don't become actual Tevel, and as such, there is no Torah need for tithing from them. And hence, in the source, we can say they're Becheskas Mesukonim, you can eat from them, because it's not clear that they actually ever became Tevel Mamish. And this teaching of Rav Hoshaya says that a person technically could do this. Marim Odom Atvlaso, he can, Marim, as we say, do circumvent the rules of Tevel. Umachnisa b'motshila, bring the grains in with their chaff still on. Kedeshite behemto ocheles, so that his animal could eat. Uptur min ha-maiser, and not have to tithe from them. There is more in terms of explanation regarding what the animal eating, etc. You can see that in the Rashi. Now, for our purposes, we have to establish that the case above with the Chover Shemes is not a case of Sofek superseding Vadai. Because, as we just got finished saying, there isn't a Vadai situation or status over here of having been definitely Tevel. The Gemara asks, V'ein Sofek Mosim Devadim, we have another source where it would appear that Sofek does overrule Vadai. V'hatanya Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa B'Shivchasa Shel Matzik Echad B'Rimoin. There was an incident involving a bondmaid of a Matzik. Matzik is a person that's a ruffian, a difficult individual to contend with. And he lived in Rimon, it's the name of a place, Shetila. This shivcha, this bondmaid of the matzik, cast a miscarriage, labor, into a pit. Ubo, we're at the top of Omid Beis, Ubo, Koyim, Vehitzitz Bo, Leida, Im Zoharhu, Im Nekevahi. And the Kohen peered over the pit to discover whether the miscarriage was a male or a female. The gender has significance regarding what we call Tumas Yoledes. But it's important, without getting into any details, just the Kohen checked out the gender of the miscarriage. And the incident came in front of the Chachomim's attention about a Kohen. A Kohen is someone who has to restrict himself from becoming defiled to the dead. So you have here a Kohen who was peering over a pit in which there seems to be a miscarriage, and we mentioned earlier that a miscarriage can project tumas mace, defilement to the dead, which is something a Kohen is not allowed to expose himself to. And this incident came to the attention of the Chum, and they declared the Kohen to be Tohor. That's Tiharu. They were Matayer the Kohen. They declared him to be Tohor, to be undefiled. Mipnei Shechuldo Bardalus Mitzuyim Shom. Because these two types of carnivorous rodents, the Echuldo or Bardalus, without translating them, they are rodents that consume flesh, since they're commonly found there. So the Kohen is labeled as Tohor. How should we describe this case? There was a definite presence of Tuma there, and there's an element of doubt. Did the creature drag it away at that time or not? Because he suffered umotzi midevada, and this element of doubt that we dot underlined just above is so strong enough to overrule the definite presence of the embryo there. And how do we see that? Well, we say because we're declaring the Tohar, the Kohen, to be Tohar. So the Gemara answers. Take note of the fact that the answer that we are about to learn is a long answer. There are two parts to it, which we saw a similar structure before with regard to the with the Ebois Amos structure. Namely, that instead of saying that it's Sofek versus Vadai, we will present two possibilities, that maybe it's really Sofek versus Sofek, or Ebois Amos, Vadai versus Vadai. So let's see the answer. Lo Tamo Shetilo Nefel Labor. Don't say that in the case above, the Shivcha had definitely miscarried. Literally is cast a miscarriage into the pit. Elo emo shepilo kemin nefel labor. But rather, she experienced some type of body reaction that gave the feeling that it was a type of miscarriage. The Have, and as a result of that, it's Sufek Usufek. It's really a case of doubt versus doubt. Namely, doubt whether the Nefa was there in the first place. And even if it was there, there is still the doubt that it remained there. The Gemara asks, how can you say it's doubt versus doubt? V'ha leida im zohar hu im nekeva hi kotani. The original source says that the Kohen peered over the pit to know whether it was male or female. But it definitely was, the embryo was definitely there. The Gemara says, no. Hachi ko'omar. Thusly, you should understand the source. Leida, the Kohen peered over the pit in order to know, im ruach hipila, im nefel hipila. Was it a miscarriage in the first place? Namely, was it possibly ruach, just a some type of air accumulation that built up in the woman, and that's what came out, just air? Or maybe there was an actual nafel. So the Kohen peered over the pit to determine whether there was a nafel in the first place. V'imtim salam or nafel ipila, and if you take that approach that there was a miscarriage of an embryo, then he would be checking out leida'im zohar hu v'im nekevohi, to establish the gender. But what did we just see? That it wasn't the case of a definite miscarriage. So it's suffix in the first place. And in the worst case scenario, that there was an afel, there still is the suffix. Maybe it never remained there because the animal dragged it away, the animal ate it. Viboyesema, another approach, Hossam, the case of the shivcha and the miscarriage, Hossam vadai uvadai hu. You could say that there was a definite miscarriage, but there's also a definite non-tuma, a definite non-defilement. Why? Kevon the chuldo bardalis mitsuyin sham, since these carnivorous creatures are commonly found there, vadai goru bahi shaita. The animal definitely dragged it away at that moment. Nehi deshuri mishaira, even if it leaves over, migrar mias vadai gorum bahi shaita. In other words, even if the animal doesn't completely consume that which it dragged away, but it definitely dragged it away at that point. And Rashi points out that the animals in question, the chulda and the bardalis, where they actually live is a type of cave or large hole or burrow, and it has a tefach airspace to it. And when you have something that's that is, you have mace or tumas mace contained in something that has an ohel halal to it, it prevents the tumah from rising above. so that even if there was a definite miscarriage and the kohen had peered over the pit, the animal dragged away whatever there was into its burrow, and there was therefore no tumah. We now, as we pointed out earlier, have come to the end of the bracketed section, and we go back to the point that with which we opened up the sukya, and that is that if you don't see an animal bring chometz to your checked house, so we do not live in a state of mind of maybe an animal came in. So the Gemara asks, Umi amrinon ein chishishin shema goro chulda? Do we really say that you don't simply suspect that maybe a chulda came and dragged in chometz? V'okotoni seifa. But we have the seifa of the Mishnah that says, and this is found on Daf Yud Amid Beis, that after a person checks his chometz on the night of the 14th, and he leaves over chometz for eating the next morning, the morning of the 14th, the Mishnah says, Masha Mishayer, that which you leave over, Yanichenu Bitsina, put it in a secure place, Shelo Yetzorch Bediko Achrov, that you shouldn't need to have to check once again. So what is it saying here? It's saying that if you leave it over in an unsecure place, in insecure place, then you will have to check again, even without having seen an animal drag chometz into your property. So we now have a problem. We have at the opening of the Gemara, we said that on your own, you're not chosheish. You don't automatically suspect the animal coming in. Here we do automatically suspect. On the side of the Gemara, you'll notice we have a triangle featured under the Nosei Mivne heading, and the note mentions Gimel Tshuvos, there are three answers, Liashev, to resolve Horesha, the Lo Choshishin Shema Giro Chulda Chometz Achar Abdika, where we don't suspect that maybe a Chulda came and dragged in Chometz after the checking. Im Haseifa, to resolve it with the next Mishnah, the Mashma Shechoshishin, that we do take into consideration the coming in of an animal. The Gemara. Omar Abai, Lo Kashya. Ha Bar Bos Ho B'Shloshel. So it all depends on the timing. There's the 14th of Nisan, and there's the 13th of Nisan. B'Shloshel Sar, D'Shchiach Rifta B'Kulu Bati. On the 13th of Nisan, when chometz is still commonly found, rifta is bread in kulavati in all the homes. So lo mitzne'a, the animal isn't going to bring chometz into your home and hide it away for future eating. It doesn't need to store up food because it has a ready supply. So if you have let's say you checked your house on the 13th of Nisan, which is in effect 2 days before Pesach, there's still plenty of bread around. You finish checking your house, you don't have to worry that after you're checking, an animal dragged some chametz in and hit it. Bar Bosar, the lo shchicha rifta bekulubati, on the 14th, when bread is not common, 14th of Nisan, you're dealing already with Erev Pesach, where people have gotten rid of most of their bread, so the animal knows that bread is in short supply. If you don't take special measures of putting away the little chometz that you have left in a secure place, you do have to worry about an animal dragging in chometz and hiding it, and thereby requiring your check. Why would it hide it? Because it knows that food is in short supply, so it will store food for later on. Omar Rava. Rava objects to this approach. V'chi chulda neviyohi diyodo do idno arbeisar v'lo ofi ad l'urto u'meshayro mitamro. There's a certain play on words over here, but the Gemara says is the chulda, which is a rat in this case, is it a prophet that it knows that today is the 14th? The play on words is that, in fact, in Jewish history, there was a prophetess by the name of Huldah. But that being aside, Rava says, was is this animal a prophet that it's aware of the calendar? The Yoda do Idno Arbeisa, that knows that today is the 14th, and Velo Ofi, and people aren't going to be baking Adlurt until the nighttime, until Pesach sets in, and they'll bake then Pesach Dika products, non-chometz products, and as a result of the animal's awareness of the 14th short supply of bread, Umeshairo Metamrit leaves over and will hide away. Rava says it's quite far-fetched that the animal is aware of all of that. Therefore, this distinction between the 13th and 14th is not a reliable answer to resolve the two sources. Elo Oma Rava, Ma Shemeshayer Yanichenu Betzino Shemo Tito Chuda Befonenu V'yeitzorech Bediko Acharov. The Mishnah on Yudam Beis, where we raised the question, based on which we raised the question that we're not Choshesh, where it seems there we are Choshesh, it's not so that over there we are Choshesh because of some element of, because of the possibility or of an element of doubt of maybe an animal will bring Chometz in, or will take away the Chometz and drag it and hide it away. But the reason for putting the chametz away in a secure place is what Rava just said, that which I leave over, I have to secure away because maybe an animal will come in front of us, which is a situation of definiteness, of certainty. And as a result of that, I will have to check afterwards. But not seeing anything, once you checked your house, it's assumed to be chometz free. Tanya Kavosei de Rava. And we have a brisa that supports Rava's understanding of the Mishnah on Daf Yud. Haroitzelech chometz achar bedika, one who wants to eat chometz after his checking. We check the house the 14th, the night of the 14th, the night leading into the 14th, but there's still the rest of the night and the next morning during which you can still eat chometz. So if you want to eat chometz after the check-in, Kate said, "Yeah." I said, "What should you do? Mashe meshayer, that which you leave over, yanichenu b'tzina, put away in a secure place. Shelo tavo chulda v'titol b'fonenu." Notice we dashed underline the main point. So as to prevent a chulda from coming and removing in our presence, you'll see him scampering off with the chometz that you set aside, and then you would require to do another checking. But without having a situation of certainty, you don't have to worry. Rav Mori, a third approach, Omar, Gzeiro Shemo Yaniach Eser V'Yimtzo Teisha. The need for putting the chometz away in a place of security is because if you, let us say, had set aside for your eating the next morning 10 pieces of bread, and then the morning comes and you find 9 pieces, so once again you have a definite problem on your hands. Under those circumstances we have evidence that something had been tampered with, then you have to check again. But otherwise, without something definite, just because of a mere fear that maybe something happened, you don't have to check again. We continue in the Gemara with quite an amazing structure ahead of us. On the side, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, and we indicate that this structure will go till Yud Omid Beis. The double underline is one of our series markings, and it introduces Sidro Shel Eser Bayos Usfekos, a series of 10 questions and doubts. Hamisoros Bekesher Lebedikas Chometz. Hamisoros means that arise in the context of checking for Chometz. The house marking that will appear are Pitronos Hanimsos Bemekoros. These are resolutions to the questions that are raised along the way. These solutions are found in sources. Now, due to the length of the sukkah and our daf yomi context, we will only be able to begin a couple of the cases, recognizing that this series, as we said, continues till Yud Amid Beis. We start our sukkah. Teisha tziburin shel matzo v'echod shel chametz. Tziburin are piles. You have 10 piles in total. 9 tziburin of chametz. And one pile, that's again, 9 piles of matzah. Matzah is, of course, something that's appropriate for Pesach. 9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chametz. V'osa achbor v'shokal, an achbor, often translated as a mouse, entered and took something. V'lo yadinon I matzah shokal, I chametz shokal. And I don't know if it took from the pile of chametz or from one of the matzah piles. Well, do I have to check? In other words, I see the problem. I see the mouse come in and take, but I don't know from which pile it took. And of course, I have to now worry that maybe it took and it deposited somewhere in the house. So the Gemara answers, the solution is Hainu Teisha Chanuyos. This is the case of the 9 stores. And this will become clear in another 2 lines, where we'll then have a chance to explain what the case of the 9 stores is. But for the time being, that case of the achbor going to the piles and taking will be resolved by once we understand the case of the 9 stores. Piresh v'osa achbor v'shokal. Piresh means got separated. So a piece of baked good got separated from one of the piles. And I don't know from which pile it came, but the piece in question right now is not in one of the piles. It's separated. And a mouse came in, took the baked good from where it was lying off to the side, not on one of the piles, and it then went into the house with it. What is the din? Do I base myself on statistics and say it's matzah and I don't have to check, or not? So we have 2 cases, and regarding the case of Piresh, the Gemara says Hainu Seifa. That's the end of the case of the stores. And now the source, Desnan. Teisha Chanuyos Kulan Mochrin Boser Shchuta V'Achas Mocheres Boser Nevela. You've got 10 stores, 9 of which are selling meat that has been shechted, that has been slaughtered properly. We'll call it kosher meat. And 1 store selling Nevelos. Nevela is meat that has not undergone proper slaughtering. We'll call it unkosher meat. The lokach me'achas mehen ve'inu yodeh me'ezeh mehen lokach. And you went into one of the stores, bought meat, and you don't know into which store you went. 9 are kosher. 1 is unkosher. You don't know into which store you went. Sveiko osir. There's an element of doubt here. We say the meat is osir, you are forbidden to eat it. Uve nimtza halocha achar harov. However, if you have a row of stores, as we said, 9 kosher and 1 unkosher, and you find meat outside the stores, then we say you have a right to follow the majority. Without giving any background, we made a distinction. If you go into one of the stores, then you can't resolve in a lenient fashion. You have to say, we rule it's usur. However, something found outside of the stores, we say, base yourself on the majority. And you have majority of kosher, and therefore you can eat the meat. As far as the chametz is concerned, if the mouse went to the piles, so you'll have to, even though 9 of the piles are matzah, that's not going to help you. You're going to have to check your house again. However, if the piece of baked good was found off to the side of the piles, we say, follow the majority, and you don't have to check your house again. as far as why this distinction is why we make this distinction. So we'll use some terminology. It's worthy of a much greater analysis, more attention. But for our purposes, just be aware there are two classifications or two categories. One is called kol kavua kemechtsa amechtsa domi, that when you have something that represents an element of doubt, and the doubt arose in its fixed place, whether it be going into the stores. The stores are the place where the meat is established. That's its place. The meat is sold in the stores. So when you go into its place, it's called kavua, its fixed location. And as a result of that, there's a concept of kemechtsa amechtsa domi, means it's a 50-50 chance. It's a balanced doubt. And as such, since we're dealing with isurim, we're dealing with Torah level prohibitions, in the case of whether it be the case of something like meat, the kosher meat versus unkosher meat, we say safek, and we go lechumra. However, when the element of doubt, whether it be the chometz or the meat, is not in its fixed location, it's off to the side, it's pirish means it got separated, then we base ourselves on the majority. We follow the rov. And that, by the way, there's a term that's relevant to that, and it's called kol deporish meruba porish, that which gets separated. We base its identity on the rov, on the majority. We continue in the Gemara with another case. Shnei tziburin, two piles. Echod shel matzah ve'echod shel chametz. Now, what's unique about this case is you don't have a rov situation. You don't have a majority situation. You've got 50-50, meaning one pile of matzah and one pile of chametz. Ulefnehem shnei botim. And in front of the two piles, you have two houses. Echod boduk ve'echod she'eno boduk. One house has been checked and the other house has not. V'osu shnei achborim, and two mice come along. Echod shokal matzah ve'echod shokal chometz. One mouse took from the matzah pile and the other mouse took from the chometz pile. V'lo yad'inon hei lahai ayil ve'hei lahai ayil. I don't know which mouse went into which house. There's mouse house, a little bit of a rhyme there. And I don't know which one went into which. Naturally, the issue is, do I have to check the checked house again? So the Gemara says, the resolution to that is found in the next source. Hainu shtei kupos. This is the case of the two boxes. What's that? This not, here's a Tanaic source in which we see the case of the shtei kupos. Shtei kupos, achas shel chulin v'achas shel truma. There are two boxes. One has chulin, which is mundane fruits and vegetables, fruits that have already been tithed, and anyone can eat from them. The achas shel truman, one box contains that which only a kohen can eat from. It's a truma tithe that's contained in that box. Ulefneim shnei so'in, echod shel chulin ve'echod shel truma. And in front of these two kupos, there are two measures. One containing chulin and one containing truma. V'naflu elu l'soch elu. And you have the two boxes that fell into the that got mixed up with these two sa'in. Was one sa'ah, sa'ah is a measure, fell into one box, and the other sa'ah, the other measure, fell into the other box. And I don't know which saw. I have a saw of truma that fell into one of the boxes, and I have a saw, this is another measure of chulin that fell into one of the boxes. So the source says, "Harei," they mutarim, they are allowed. In other words, you can eat the fruits in each box. A kohen will eat the truma, and the chulin can be eaten by anybody, even a non-kohen. She'ani omer, because I say, we conclude chulin l'to chulin naflu utruma l'soch truma nafla. The chulin saw, the saw of chulin fell into the chulin box mixed with chulin, and the saw of truma mixed got mixed up in the box containing truma. So what do we see? We see that we are tole, we make an assumption, lekula, in the direction of leniency. So too, with regard to our two houses and the two piles that were in front of them, one of matzah and one of chametz. The mouse took the chametz into the unchecked house, and the other mouse took the matzah into the checked house. The Gemara tries to reject this analysis and says, raises a question, Amor d'amrinan she'ani omer, I'll tell you, when do I say this she'ani omer, that I conclude, literally I conclude, when do we take this approach that we conclude in a lenient direction? That's betruma derabbanan. We're at the top of Yud Amud Aleph. That's when you're dealing with truma, the truma tie that's removed nowadays, bizman hazeh. Nowadays, being that we don't have the Yovel cycle that is observed, and hence the Trumas and Maestras, the tithing that we practice, even though we do practice them, they're practiced only on a rabbinic level. And being that they are only of a rabbinic nature, we can be lenient. When it comes to the issue of Chometz, which even nowadays has a Torah level status, who says that we will also be lenient? And say she'ani omer, and say that the mouse that took the chametz went into the unchecked house, and the mouse that took the matzah went into the checked house. So the Gemara responds, says otu bedikas chametz deraisa. The need for checking for chametz, is that need a Torah level requirement? Derabbanan hi. It is a mere rabbinic requirement. Dimi doraisa, when you're dealing with the issue of chametz on a Torah level, bebitul bi'alma sagile, by mere nullification, you've accomplished the Torah's requirement of ridding yourself of chametz. Nullification solves the problem raised by the Torah. So, as far as what chametz problem exists after I've done bitul, only a rabbinic need, the need that we still insist that you check anyway. And we've seen in the past why the rabbis instituted the need for checking. But being that it's a rabbinic requirement, we can, just like we said with regard to the truma, we can be lenient and say that the, we said before that the truma saw fell into the truma box, and the chulin saw fell into the chulin box, because the truma in that case was only rabbinic. So to hear, the need for rechecking would be only a rabbinic need, and therefore we can say that the mouse that took the chametz went into the as yet unchecked house, and the mouse that took the matzah went into the already checked house. We notice that the series of cases continues, as we mentioned earlier, but this is a convenient pausing point. Before we close, let's just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.